The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes, welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 19th, 2019. So for the July 5th show, I aired a Thunderbolt called The Concept of Accepting a Diversity of Worldviews 101. And it turned out that the subject not only took up both halves of the July 5th show, but it now requires a third half this week, because the subject was simply too big to fit into a single show.
I just did it, and I'm ready to do it again.
And so, to recap our journey thus far, I was once the recipient of a lengthy and detailed amateur psychological analysis provided free of charge by an anonymous source who based his analysis upon two brief encounters with me and upon the contents of my newsletter. However, it soon became obvious to me that this gentleman was instead analyzing himself and then projecting his various neuroses upon me. Anyway, rather than taking advantage of the dubious claimed therapeutical benefits, I instead ended up using his psychological insights in order to promote the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And then I ended the July 5th show off with a warning that this week's show was going to delve deep into the dark and twisty depths of my old white guy sexist mind. And so I must warn you now, dear listeners, that this week you enter the realm of the Thunderbolts at your own risk. Yes, kids, welcome to the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. 201 or welcome to my brain. So I hope that you are properly prepared. Crash helmet on, insurance payments current, will up to date, and that you have your psychiatrist on speed dial. Because here we go! For the first 11 years of my life, I grew up in a little sexless Leave It to Beaver fantasy land, where everything was always good and wholesome except for Eddie Haskell. Yes, kids, I grew up in a magical little lollipop cartoon world where all the clouds were always white and fluffy and where bad things only happened to other people. But as pleasant as that was, the thing is that growing up in such an insulated little bubble world completely fails to prepare one in any way whatsoever or in any manner whatsoever for dealing with things when that insulated little bubble world suddenly explodes into a frigging fireball. For you see, here is the thing about my brain. In my particular case, my brain was largely wired by my cold, distant disciplinarian father and by the drunk driver that killed my mother when I was 11 years old. Bada boom. You can try to tear me down all you want, but I think I've done pretty well for someone whose whole destiny was largely shaped by a drunk driver. I certainly don't remember Leave It to Beaver ever having to deal with anything like that. As my anonymous psychological expert would probably attest, sometimes a cigar is not just a cigar. So I guess that according to my personal armchair psychiatrist, I am now exploiting my dead mother for some secret nefarious purpose. Yes, a slippery slope indeed. The point of all this is that as a result of my pre-adolescent brain wiring job, I have preferred the company of women to that of men since childhood. I like women more, I trust women more, and I consider women to be nicer, smarter, gentler, wiser, stronger, kinder, more interesting, and more pleasing to the eye. Basically, I love most women, whereas I like some men. That's just the way my brain is wired. And that's the way it has always been. And so I just do the best I can within the psychological framework in which I operate. If that makes me a sexist pig, or if you think that I suck for that, then whatever. Just like most ways of being, being the way I am has its advantages and it has its disadvantages. I'm an old sexist white guy, albeit in the opposite way that that term is usually applied. If you want to work with me trying to save the world, then deal with it or don't. But putting aside relatively petty personal judgments to work on the greater cause of saving my granddaughter's planet is yet another example of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. For we are stronger when we stand together. So our next alternative worldview was brought about, again, by my personal anonymous psychoanalyst, when he said this: you have no chance of developing any meaningful relationships in this community or in any community you set yourself in. Your interactions are contaminated from the start. It is pure and ugly exploit for your own unhealthy purposes, which seems to be to isolate yourself from others so that you can feel safe and in control. Though tragically, in the end, it only affirms the personal insecurities and fear-driven identity that brings you to this unhealthy thinking and behavior to begin with. However, being an old sexist white guy as you are, I don't expect you to change your thinking or behavior. Most old white guys' psychology and behavior is habitually set, and I don't really expect to witness any real change in your thinking or behavior anytime soon. Unquote. And thus, my shrink's prognosis is that I am an irredeemable, hopeless old white guy who is incapable of ever changing my evil, sexist, woman-demeaning ways, and that no one really likes me, and that since he is now onto me, then I might as well just go skulk in some corner and start sucking rocks or something. So do you see, as I mentioned in the last show, my assessments of his assessments evoke the same spirit as his do, but mine are both much shorter and much funnier. Anyway, in the interests of full disclosure, I just thought that everyone should know all of that about me. But that said, there actually is a lot to consider there. And a lot of it just happens to coincidentally correspond with the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. Well, I am thinking from that last statement that my critic is of the younger generation, and I think that comes into play here, because one more thing that I am now starting to get is that there are some rather profound differences in views about the place that sex holds, both personally and culturally, between my generation and the current crop of kids. And I will here admit that I flat don't get a lot of it. Now please keep in mind that I had never even heard of nor even considered the concept of gender neutrality until I came to Olympia 10 years ago. And as an Earthman who has enthusiastically celebrated the differences between the sexes for my entire adult life, I'm afraid that the very concept of gender neutrality simply does not compute in my reality. Now, I am not saying that it's wrong or bad or that people shouldn't adopt whatever the hell identity and worldview that they are comfortable with. And I will use whatever pronoun someone wants me to use when referring to them, since it is them that I am referring to. I am just saying that it does not come at all naturally, and it makes me feel kind of weird. What I am saying is that in the interest of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, I am willing to accept various worldviews that I find alien. And I don't think it's too much to ask the same in return. Now, kids other than my anonymous psychiatrist have also told me that this cluelessness about current sexual mores amongst the contemporary youth is a common problem amongst men of my generation. So evidently, that is just something you kids are gonna have to deal with if you want to work with us. Yes, I came of age in that brief post-pill but pre-AIDS period, and I was a member in good standing of the free love generation. So that definitely influenced my perspective on the role of sex. And to be honest, from what I can discern of what the kids are thinking about sex these days, I think that overall, my view is the more realistic, more enlightened, and psychologically healthier anyway, regardless of what my anonymous therapist says. Until fairly recently, I was enjoying a thoroughly wonderful and fulfilling sex life. I find myself wondering if my anonymous therapist can say the same. So excuse me, but I'll just keep my worldview on that subject, thank you. And you probably should not expect to witness any real changes in my thinking or my behavior on that particular subject anytime soon. So if you cannot handle that, then I guess we don't work together. I really would suggest trying out the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, though, if only because we're stronger if we work together. And I'm not done yet, kids. No siree, Bob. If you are going to truly adopt the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews as your default worldview, then you need to stretch it out and get it on down. For you see, while boasting about the healthy state of my sexual mental health, There is actually one fairly major caveat that I must make. For you see, in yet another sacrifice to the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, I will now invite you into yet another far distant land, located deep in the recesses of Dana's lizard brain, where mayhap you have yet to ever tread. Yeah, I'm gonna be real honest with you now. Yes, kids, I think that now is the perfect time to throw yet another firebomb that I've had sitting on the shelf for a long time now, just waiting for the right time to be ignited. For you see, I hereby publicly confess that as if being an old sexist white guy weren't bad enough, I also have a fairly serious case of homophobia. Now drop a pin and listen. To be sure, in my case, this does not mean that I think homosexuality is wrong or bad, or that people should not do it. And I fully understand that my homophobia is 100% my own personal problem. And I do my best to not allow my personal problems to become a problem for other people. And so in that way, my homophobia is not as bad as the more popular brand. But in another way, my homophobia is even worse, because even in this area, I am also a sexist pig, in that my homophobia only applies to gay men. Irredeemable, indeed. Now, I fully agree that this totally sucks, and I really wish it wasn't so. But, just as is so ironically the case with the romantic proclivities of gay people, homophobia also seems to be one of those things that is hardwired into your brain while you're still a little kid, and it's just there, and I can't do anything about it. So I just do the best I can. But to be honest, other than occasional slight discomfort, it's really not that big a deal in my life. I'm fine hanging out with gay people, as long as they understand that I am not. And I wasn't going to say this because it's so freaking cliched, but I'm gonna say it anyway because it's true. I've had many gay male friends, one of whom I worked with for over a year, and with whom I became very close to. It is just that the thought of men engaged in sex with each other churns some deep part of my lizard brain, and there's nothing I can do about it. I love hugging women. I don't like even touching, much less hugging men. Well, darn that cold, distant father and that drunk driver. Anyway, I am different from gay people in one area, though, and that I am not proud. Anyway, my question for the kids in general, and for gays in particular, is this. Would you be willing to work with me, knowing that I am homophobic? And have I mentioned that putting aside relatively petty personal judgments to work for the greater good is an example of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews? And have I mentioned that we are stronger when we stand together? Having now spent 4 years in Olympia, surrounded by gay people and by gay culture, I have lately spent thought on possible productive purpose for my homophobia. As someone who unquestioningly accepts the right of gay people to both exist and to be gay, and being fully supportive of gay people being able to do whatever the hell they want to do, under the same caveats as everyone else is free to do whatever the hell they want to do, then possibly I can convince other homophobes that my homophobic view is the more enlightened. Maybe I can inspire an enlightened homophobe movement. Possibly I can also help gay people understand that when someone makes someone else uncomfortable, especially about a sexual thing, then a common human reaction is to externalize that discomfort and blame the other person for what is actually their own problem. And maybe I can help other homophobes understand the same thing. For a long while now, I have wanted to attend a pride event with a sign that says, "Homophobes for Gay Rights." And then see what kind of conversations that might stir. And we're going to take a quick station break now, so the Thunderbolt will be back in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So before we return to part 4 of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, I have a special treat for you. In my never-ending quest to represent the cutting edge of edgy news and commentary here in the South Puget Sound, it is my honor on this glorious day to bring you yet another Thunderbolt first. Yes, kids, hang on to your seats, because this is the premier all-time first official Thunderbolt game show contest. And I'm going to call it Dancing with the Sound Bites. So tell me, what sound bite best describes the disease? Send in your entries now. You will win absolutely nothing, but you will experience the thrill of seeing your ideas mentioned on this radio show that is so exceedingly popular and beloved by the great Olympian masses that exist in my imagination. Now remember, the 99% is already taken. And while it is still very effective, I am thinking of something with which to maybe garnish that near-perfect legendary moniker. So how about this? The most important job there is, i.e. motherhood, is given virtually no value, at least financially, while the least important job there is, i.e. stealing everything from everyone else and sending it all to the Cayman Islands, that job is given vast, huge, humongous, vertiginously, insanely, hyper-over-large value. at least financially. That's a pretty outrageously outrageous outrage, but it's too wordy for a soundbite. How about this? The state of Washington literally throws disabled people out onto the streets whilst maintaining a tax exemption for private jets. Still too many words. So how about this? The state of Washington is gutting programs for families with children that depend upon those programs for their ability to stay in their homes. And they are doing this whilst maintaining a tax exemption for country club memberships. Still too many words. So how about education? Even completely disregarding the profound social and societal benefits derived from providing your populace with a quality education, there's the purely financial fact that every study ever done reveals that even as ineffectively and as inefficiently as government spends education cash, the investment still invariably provides between 1,200 and 1,700% return on investment. Thus, even from the purely analytical, economic, cold, real politic viewpoint, education spending is amongst the best money that a government can spend. But the problem is that when the rabble starts educating themselves, they start figuring out what is being done to them. And unless they join in and start doing it themselves, then large numbers of that rabble start questioning the ethics of looting the third world. And then they start refusing to mass murder brown people for the benefit of Goldman Sachs. That's way too many words. So how about this? They are cutting funding to higher education whilst maintaining a tax exemption for facelifts. Believe me, kids, I couldn't get away with making this up. So how about this paradigm? It's okay to let your kid watch people blowing each other's heads off on the movie or video screen. But it's not okay for them to watch people making love there. Or how about this? There are more blacks in prison now that were held under slavery at emancipation. None of those things I just said, though, fit the qualifications for an efficient sound bite, though. So here are the parameters for the first official Thunderbolt game show. What is the most that we can say in the fewest words possible that best personifies this vile thing that is being done to us? Send in your suggestions now.
And we now return to our regular programming.
All right. Welcome to the fourth half of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. To recap our double show extravaganza thus far, we have considered the worldviews of armchair psychologists. we have explored the darkest depths of my own brain. We have considered the diverse worldviews of differing generations. We have considered the worldview of sexist pigs. And we have even considered the worldview of enlightened homophobes. So now, for the grand Thunderbolt worldview finale, let us next consider the worldview of enlightened assholes. Yes, kids, the most incredibly offensive asshole that I have ever had the misfortune to actually encounter. This guy was a foul-mouthed, alcoholic, drunken, racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, misogynistic, demeaning, degrading, sneering, arrogant, condescending, and just in general, the most incredibly offensive prick that you could possibly imagine. His name was Stephen Principal, which was rather ironic, since the guy didn't seem to have any principles that I could discern. But get this. Back in 1988, I watched Stephen Principal put in 20-hour days free of charge for a couple of months doing most excellent legal work for the Rainbow family, and then he beat the federal government in court, which is not easy to do. And not only that, but he won the case in a staid, solemn, and serious federal courtroom full of staid, solemn, and serious suits, presided over by a staid, solemn, and serious judge, and surrounded by staid, solemn, and serious people armed with guns. And he did all of that, well, literally dressed in a court jester's outfit, complete with a funny little hat. And then he kicked their ass. So assholedness can be a powerful force. The biggest assholes in the world are the assholes who own and run the world, in fact. And I am thinking that maybe, just like I can't help being homophobic, that maybe assholes also can't help being assholes. And maybe there are good assholes who try to put their assholedness to productive purpose. Should we forsake their contributions just because they're assholes? My experience has been that it takes all kinds, which is another way of saying that it takes a diversity of world views. So what say we put aside our personal differences and we begin accepting many diversity of worldviews that surrounds us. And then, let's get together to save my granddaughter's planet. A. Time to get to work. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It. Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of July 20th through July 26th, 2019. It's time to take down some information. It's the Thunderbolt Activist Events Calendar. Yay. So our first event is later today, Saturday, July 20th. It's the Olympia DSA General Meeting. This will be from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, 119 Washington Street, Northeast. And this event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America. And this is their message. We are the local chapter of DSA, the largest socialist organization in the United States. We are working in Olympia and the South Sound to empower working people and create a more free and equal world, whether that is through universal health care, housing for all, or strong democratic unions. We hold our general membership meetings on the third Saturday of every month at 4 p.m. People who are new to DSA are welcome, but we encourage folks who are interested to reach out to us ahead of time at dsaolympia@gmail.com. That way we can provide some orientation and maybe meet in person ahead of time, either for a quick meeting over coffee or at one of our monthly socials. So again, this is the Olympia DSA General Meeting, Saturday, July 20th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, 119 Washington Street, Northeast. Also on Saturday, July 20th, we have the Extinction Rebellion Working Group Meeting. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at Heritage Park Fountain. That's at 330 Fifth Avenue Southwest. And I don't have any polling data, but I'm pretty sure most people are against humanity becoming extinct. So this event was organized by the Extinction Rebellion Olympia. This will be a working group meeting for Extinction Rebellion Olympia, July 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Heritage Park. And I do not have any contact information. So again, this is the Extinction Rebellion Working Group Meeting, Saturday, July 20th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Heritage Park Fountain, 330 Fifth Avenue Southwest. Next, we move on to Monday, July 22nd. This is a workshop, Moving Beyond Sweeps. This will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the United Churches of Olympia, 110 11th Avenue, Southeast. And this event was organized by Just Housing. Summer is in full swing with a number of fairs, festivals, and community events right around the corner. Despite the warmth, sunshine, and summer festivities, Just Housing, local government entities, and other community groups have not slowed down our efforts to address our region's housing and homelessness crisis. Now is just as important of a time as ever to stay informed and get involved. We have a series of upcoming workshops, public meetings, and community events related to homelessness in our community. This workshop will cover why sweeps don't work, how the forcible removals of houseless camps impact all of us, Olympia's history with encampments and sweeps, just and effective alternatives to sweeps, and how to get involved in supporting those alternatives. So again, this is a workshop, Moving Beyond Sweeps, Monday, July 22nd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the United Churches of Olympia, 110 11th Avenue, Southeast. Next, on Thursday, July 25th, it's a social justice and civil disobedience workshop. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. And this event was organized by Just Housing. This is a social justice and civil disobedience workshop training. Join Just Housing for this workshop and training on the basics of using peaceful civil disobedience strategies to achieve social justice goals. The workshop and training will cover why civil disobedience is an important part of social justice advocacy, the history of civil disobedience for social justice in our own community, and how to participate in and carry out civil disobedience actions in ways that are as safe as possible, effective, trauma-informed, and centered on harm reduction. People are spreading the word and inviting their friends. So again, this is the Social Justice and Civil Disobedience Workshop, Thursday, July 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. And that is it for the calendar this week. Looks like I've got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to play a tune for you. Technically, this is Yes, the band Yes, but for a while they legally lost their right to use that name. So for the purposes of this album, they were called Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe. This is a really pretty tune. I hope you enjoy this.
I sleep tonight, a dream will call and raise its head in majesty, dividing all my energy to the meeting of your love. Where from whence it came, like a singer searching for a song, I try to reach where you belong. As I will be the song for you, I will be your servant child. No, oh no, I cannot be deceived. No, oh no, there's something that I feel, something that I feel inside. Surely I could tell, if you ask me, Lord, to board the train, my life, my love would be the same. Yes, I will be the one for you in the meeting of your love, in the meeting of your love.
right, nice. That tune was called The Meeting. That was from Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe. We're almost out of here now, but I would like to remind you to support your local independent community radio station. We're more important now than we've ever have been before, believe me, because they're spreading the BS and it's coming out thick and heavy, and we need to counter them if we want to survive as a species. And I have time for a bonus tip of the day for you this week. Accept a diversity of worldviews. Haha, peace, and we'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.